The following broadcast of Compassion Radio is from our vast archive of programming content on today's Compassion Radio.
I think it's just crucial to have your family doing this kind of thing and service, just being very disadvantaged and having the greatest challenges before them, and then to see what you can do about it.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Okay, finish this line. The family that prays together... yes, stays together. Hello and welcome on in to another edition of Compassion Radio, radio for the sake of others. On today's broadcast, we're going to hear about a very special young family, a family that takes that whole concept of praying together to a level far, far beyond. Norm was recently on the receiving end of some wonderful ministry from a traveling missionary family who'd come from great distance to be there. We're going to hear a lot more about said family on today's broadcast. Here's Norm with the introductions.
All right, our guest today on Compassion Radio is very special. His name is the Reverend Dr. Paul Ciani, and he is a missionary along with his beautiful family, actually from New Zealand to South Africa. I was privileged to get acquainted with them just a few days ago, found them very compelling, wanted to know more, and so they're with us today on Compassion Radio. Paul, welcome to Compassion Radio. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Norm. It's a real pleasure. Great to be able to connect, even though we're over here in Colorado Springs.
The telephone is very helpful, isn't it? And we do a lot of our work via Skype. And
that's
not a commercial message, but it's the way we operate much of the time. Now, Paul, the first thing I want to say about you is that you do, in fact, have a beautiful family. And as I listened to you and saw your family, I was very impressed. This looks like an extremely handsome and happy and a fulfilled missionary family. So just briefly describe your family. I know you're proud of all of them.
Well, thank you very much. My wife, Barbara, is, we are both actually missionary kids, MKs. We were both missionaries. Our parents were missionaries in the Philippines, so we went to Faith Academy there.
We know it well, by the way.
And she is from the San Diego area. I am originally a New Zealand citizen as well as an American citizen. And my eldest son, Dominic, just graduated from high school in Johannesburg and will be attending Biola University starting in the fall, and will be in the Christian and Media Arts program. He loves film and would love to be a director. Film director.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then my middle daughter, Michaela, is 15. Oh, I better get these ages right. And my youngest, Isabel, is 12. And Michaela and Isabel, they love to sing. Michaela is just a prolific songwriter.
Wonderful.
She just loves to sing. And all of them play guitar, piano. Isabel plays the drums. Dominic plays the drums. And they love jamming together. They love writing crazy, silly songs as well as serious songs. They lead worship at the church and worship at different Christian camps as well. Yeah, Michaela just loves to perform. She's been in a number of competitions, national ones, including some that are almost like a South African Idols, if you would have something like that.
Wow.
And, so she really just loves it and is very much involved. Dominic has written plays and musicals for his school and for others for a while, and the school asked him to write next year's musical. So
my
he and his
goodness.
Sister have written some of the, well, most all the original score, and Dominic has written the stuff. So, yeah, they're very active.
That's terrific. You mentioned that Barbara was from the San Diego area, and as I understand it, she is an alumnus of Biola.
Yes.
as are you at the graduate level. Your national origin is out of New Zealand.
Right.
And when I think about that, I always think about this incredible rugby team from New Zealand, all black uniforms, and and the folks in South Africa where you are ministering now as a missionary have a real rivalry with you, because I've been in South Africa when they have been consumed with a upcoming match with the evil people from New Zealand.
Wow, you know your stuff, Norm.
I do.
Yes, that is a huge rivalry, and we have always had a rivalry with the Springboks. And my church can't believe it. Whenever the New Zealanders win, the All Blacks win, I wear an All-Black jersey to preach in the following morning. And it drives them crazy. I take a crazy amount of abuse from these. They all wear their Springbok jerseys and come out and yell at me while I'm, you know, making announcements. But it's all friendly. And then when they win the World Cups, I always have an agreement that I'll wear a Springbok jersey just in honor of that.
Oh, my.
Yes, I tell them not to post it online because my Samoan relatives will kill me. They're all big.
Well, there you go.
Now, so I have to be careful.
Now, you mentioned Samoan relatives. My understanding is that at least a part of your background is Maori. Is that right?
Yes. It goes back, but there's also a little island called Niue. It's very hard to find, N-I-U-E, which my family is mostly from, even though we have Samoan descent. We are descended from the royal family of Samoa, but my grandfather married a Niuean woman and got kicked out of the royal family, so they gave him the name Siaki Motu, which means to leave a nation or to leave an island. And then my father, who was the eldest of 13, when he became a missionary, he changed it and shortened it to Siaki. So actually, Siakis, if you see them anywhere in the world, they are all related to me.
I see. Every one of them.
Made up name.
You know, I think already that our listeners can tell what an interesting guy you are and what an interesting family you are. And the old image of missionaries used to be a very staid sort of an image, at least those coming from the shores of the USA. That's not true anymore, if it ever was true. I'm not sure it ever was. You preached on Sunday about joy, and as I listened to you then, and as I talk to you now, and as I hear you describe your family and so forth, I hear the joy of the Lord in you, and I'm convinced that that is the thing that attracted me to make myself known to you on Sunday and to say, you know, I'm from Compassion Radio, and we have a project, by the way, in Johannesburg, South Africa. And you said, I know that project. And I thought, well, I've got to take advantage of this. Paul, you visited the Door of Hope, didn't you?
I did. I did. Downtown. Besides the fact that we had also in Johannesburg become aware of, you know, such a great work. It is, it's one of the worst things I think about any society, but the fact that babies are abandoned on garbage heaps and wherever in alleys, and just the fact that Door of Hope, you know, that they were so desirous to change this that they would knock a hole in their wall and then eventually make it an official kind of thing. But because I work with the government and I work with, I was on the mayor's committee for moral regeneration and the family and this kind of thing. So I did do and hear quite a lot about the ministries, and I thought, wow, this is so interesting. I want my family to go down there. So my wife and I met the people working there, and my children got to play with a number of the orphans and be with them. And I think it's just crucial, Norm, to have your family doing this kind of thing and service and, you know, just seeing the lives of others, especially very disadvantaged, and having in a sense, the greatest challenges before them, and then to see what you can do about it.
That is one great illustration from our special guest, Paul Siaki, on today's Compassion Radio. And we'll hear more from him in just a moment. But a quick reminder that you can hear this program again and get details about our special offer and other great resources at CompassionRadio.com or through our Facebook page. If you haven't connected to us yet, please do so. Let's go ahead and get back now to Norm and his special guest, Paul Siaki, on today's Compassion Radio.
You know, Paul, I'm telling you things that you know far better than I, but I have to say this, that when Sharon and I were there, I was taken in a car to a place called Tecosa.
Okay, yeah.
You know Tecosa.
Yes.
Kind of a rough area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, so rough, at that time, there was a strike going on involving taxi drivers.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of violence going on. But Tecosa is really rough, and what they told me, as these big Congolese guys sort of piled on top of me in the back seat,
ooh,
they said, if a person with white skin is seen anywhere,
yeah,
it is quite possible that someone will come up and shoot you right through the window of your vehicle.
Mm. Yeah.
And what we were doing, Paul, was we were going to a hospital there,
yeah,
to claim four babies,
wow,
who had been rescued, you
yeah
know, from abandonment.
Yeah.
And I was given the choice to go and be a part
yeah
of this rescue. And I did. And I'll tell you, it was an amazing experience. Rather than frightening me, all it did was enhance the determination that we
sure
have at Compassion Radio to minister in South Africa and in that kind of situation. Now, I've talked too much about myself, but I just want our listeners to understand something of why the connection was so easy to make with you.
Sure.
And your whole family. Tell our listeners what it is that you do in South Africa.
Thank you. It is a little bit at the, let's say, the top level. What I do is a lot of church planting. I do a lot of training for church planting and missions mobilization, sending African missionaries wherever around the world, but especially with my connections with Asia, I try and get an exchange between Asian missionaries and African missionaries, and then also trying to get church planting movements on a national level or on a strategic level. I am also chairman of the Johannesburg Transformation Movement, which seeks to transform Johannesburg at every level.
Really?
Marketplace, business, government, which is kind of why I'm involved a lot with government,
wow,
medical fields, just basically trying to get Christians to be salt and light wherever they are,
yeah,
in order that we transform Johannesburg from every level, because South Africa is so influential on the continent,
yeah,
and Johannesburg alone as a city accounts for something like 12% of the GDP of the continent.
My goodness.
Yeah, it really influences all of Africa. Our motto or our vision is turning the city of gold into the city of God.
Explain the city of gold. That's important, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Basically, so much of the gold in the world comes from Johannesburg. And it basically about 25% of all the gold that's in the world now actually comes from Johannesburg in South Africa. So it was a city that was built on the gold. We've had our own gold rush there in a way. So they call it Egoli, which is Zulu for city of gold. And so we're just saying we want to turn the city of gold into the city of God.
That's wonderful.
And my work with that is with the churches of Johannesburg, with the churches of Soweto, and we've been involved with a global day of prayer. I don't know if you've seen that.
Absolutely.
That's come out of Cape Town.
Yes.
So I'm on the executive committee there, and a number of things in which, on a strategic national level, I work with that. But also, on a very personal level, we want to see things happen with compassion, with orphans. My family, for the longest time, would visit an orphanage that was very close to our house, and the kids every Saturday would play with the children. And we would try to just give them somebody to, I don't know, have a father figure or even have, you know, siblings. And they would really clamp on and look forward to our visits. We have helped a young orphan to get tutored. We try and help them up to get their high school fees paid for and then maybe even into college. So
my.
We know we can't help everybody, but we want to try and help some.
You know, this is an exciting interview to me. For so many reasons. As a Californian, I do remember, not that I was here, of course, but reading California history, the gold rush of California. And tell me if I'm right about this or wrong, but my understanding has been from our stays there in South Africa that South Africa is really sort of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow in the minds of many sub-Saharan Africans.
Absolutely.
And downtown, one of the things I remember, Paul, is that there were these large buildings, like real cheap hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, like I mentioned these Congolese young men, who were all believers, by the way, and they were resident of what they call the Congolese Embassy. And there were different nationalities in so many of these large buildings, hotels. They all represented nations of young men who had come seeking that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow because of the poverty elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then, is this right? And then when they don't find it, as has been the case in California for so many, the result is drugs, violence, that kind of disappointment. Am I on target with that?
Yes, absolutely. And so much of the drug trade is unfortunately picked up by what would be called, you know, foreign Africans. And there is so much xenophobia with them, against them. And so there are times when the nation goes through kind of a cycle in which the xenophobic attacks and killings and violence, which is a shame. And because really, if the job placement, the economic system is not such that it can support its own people, let alone all of the refugees or illegal people coming across the border. And like Zimbabwe, and we work in Zimbabwe, we also work in Swaziland and in Mozambique, but in Zimbabwe, if there are 3.5 million Zimbabweans thought to be believed in South Africa of the 11 million population of all Zimbabweans in the world.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, so a huge portion of them are in South Africa, and they would love to return to their country, but there's nothing. It's being torn apart. It's, you know, there's nothing there. There's no work. There's, you know, you can get a $1 trillion bill there. It's the money just is useless. So
that's amazing.
I was also one of the things that part of the government was I was an independent election observer for the elections of Robert Mugabe. When he was first done, I was sent by the SADC, which is the Southern African Coalition. But so we try and do what we can to make sure things happen. But still, it's frustrating when things don't. And in a sense, you still have a dictator next door.
Referring to Zimbabwe?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, there is so much poverty virtually right next door. I'm thinking about Mozambique, sort of right like an island inside of South Africa, Lesotho.
Yeah.
And you've got Angola not far away and so forth. In a sense, South Africa bears the brunt of its natural resources and success. That really is a mixed blessing, isn't it?
It is. And so, I mean, especially the downtown areas, especially downtown Johannesburg, it is a very violent place, and it's tough, and it actually is being, hesitate to say taken over, but let's just say most people are moving away, so therefore the vacuum is filled by those who are moving in, and that tends to be from illegal immigration from other countries. And that's tough, you know.
Yeah.
It causes a strain on everything, but there are churches, so many, that continue to to work down there and try to help people as much as possible. One of my good friends, he's a Methodist bishop. He would often organize a march or for mm-hmm. Central Methodist, which was downtown. Mm-hmm. They always open their doors up to refugees and people, so there's a place to sleep and food and mm-hmm. try to give some medical care because these are people that just have to be taken care of.
You know, I'd like to ask you a question because you mentioned all of these things, these issues, these problems, these challenges. And because of your unique relationship, not only to the church, but also to the government in South Africa, in a very real sense, you bear the weight, the burden of the problems of this nation on your own shoulders. You carry it on your back. And I know you're not going to say, well, I'm the only one. No, but those things weigh on issues of ministry and challenges yeah. and opportunities of ministry. And there's so much I want to ask you about, and I'd like to know more about your church planting,
okay.
about the situation in terms of race, and all of that. There's so many questions involving this. Absolutely, from a physical point of view, one of the most magnificent countries on the face of the earth. A dear friend of my wife and I, Sharon, who has spent a major part of his life, he's an American, but has spent a major part of his life in South Africa, has said very boldly, South Africa is the most beautiful country in the world. And then he says, and you have to remember, I was born in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little more and find out about the ministry of Paul Siaki and the Siaki family there in Johannesburg and beyond in that beautiful nation of South Africa.
This broadcast, by the way, from our vast Compassion Radio archives. Well, let's grab a quick in-studio segment here with Cher. And Cher, we have a continuing project that we've been involved with for close to 15 years now. And it's as exciting a project as we've ever had here on Compassion Radio. It's the Door of Hope Project. And my friend, if you love children, little babies, and you have a concern about children who are abandoned, this project is absolutely for you. Cher, tell our listeners a bit more about this if they don't know about it already.
Well, we discovered this years and years ago. One of our listeners from Indonesia actually told us about this ministry, which is in South Africa. The pastor of a small church in a very difficult neighborhood in Johannesburg, South Africa, discovered that babies were being disposed of in the most terrible of ways from mothers who were either drug addicted or too poor to be able to take care of a baby. Some of them were prostitutes. There are all kinds of sad reasons why these babies were thrown away. Well, the pastor came up with a unique idea, and this was the first one that we had ever heard about anywhere in the world, although they are in several places now. They cut a hole in the security wall around their church. They put in a bin and a cover on each side. They made the bin sensitive to weight so that it could set off an alarm within the church, and they put up posters around the neighborhood saying that they were willing to take the babies that were going to be disposed of. They were hoping that some of the mothers might reconsider and take their babies back if they were able to, or that family might come and claim the babies, or the babies could be cared for, taught about Jesus, and grow up as Christians in South Africa, and perhaps become the next leaders of the country, because a whole generation was being wiped out there because of the AIDS epidemic. Well, that was one church, one little baby house, and when we were there, they had about 30 children at that time. Since then, they've gone to well over 2,000 babies that have been rescued either through the door or brought to them by police or other people. Many of those children have now been adopted into Christian families. The preference is to keep them there in South Africa so that they can grow up to be a benefit to their country. We were able to purchase the first house for them outside of the hillbrow, desperately dangerous area where the babies, as they became crawlers and toddlers, could have a place to safely move around in grass, in clean air, and in a big house. Well, they've gone on now to three houses, and they are in the process of now building the Door of Hope Village. which will contain all kinds of help for the babies and children that can grow up to their 18th birthday there if they're not adopted. Cheryl's children are now all out of college, and two of her sons have now come on board on staff, and they are running the business end of both the baby houses and the village. And we are so thrilled to see what God is doing through these two young men to guide the direction and to help the project grow just beautifully. And we just really, really pray that you will care for these little children. By giving through Compassion Radio, we will be able then to help them with the village and with the care for the babies. As always, you can call and talk to our wonderful people here at the office at 1-800-868-2478. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or the easiest way always is simply to go online and give through our secure server at CompassionRadio.com.
Thanks, Cher. Our toll-free phone number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can access our website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at CompassionRadio.com. All one word, CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Norm and Cher Nelson, Bram Floria, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll join you again tomorrow for our next edition of Compassion Radio.